Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. World has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can.
All right, good evening, everyone. This is Say Your Peace Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio, and I want to say thank you for listening in tonight, you guys. We had a great show. I think that was Wednesday night. I'm going to try to start coming on a regular basis. I had just been so bogged down with schoolwork, I hadn't had a chance to do my show on a regular basis. But I want to say thank you for listening in tonight. We're going to have a very good, interesting conversation, a great guest. You guys, we've got to listen up and see what's going on around us, for it is so much stuff going on. I want to... welcome a special guest, Mr. Willie Joseph Jr. of Jonesboro. As you know, we have been dealing with the Jonesboro situation, and he hasn't had a chance to really tell his story, so I want to give him this opportunity tonight to tell you guys what he's facing as far as dealing with the Jonesboro crap, is what I say. That's why I came to show tonight, what in the hell is going on in Jonesboro, Louisiana. So, Mr. Joseph, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
Okay. Good, good, good. Okay, Mr. Joseph, tell our listening audience about who you are, what's your status in the Jonesboro area, what do you do, and tell us about how you came to be in the situation you're in, okay?
Yes, ma'am. Well, I'm Willie Ray Joseph Jr. I'm originally from Pineville, Louisiana. Raised right on Elm Street in Pineville. 95 graduate of Pineville High School, Pineville Rebel. I moved to this area where me and my wife we had four kids, and on August the 14th of last year, I was at a town hall meeting where I witnessed John F. Meyer and DJ Allen of Jonesboro State Bank. Donald F. Meyer was the old mayor of Jonesboro before Mayor Thompson made history and come in as the first black elected mayor in Jonesboro, and he's right now on his second term, and we even have we even got the alderman at large seat. We have the first black alderman at large running in the capacity of Jonesboro. And as I was walking out, greeting people, talking to others, coming out of the town hall meeting, I heard Donald S. Meyer, the ex mayor, and DJ Allen of Jonesboro State Bank. They made a statement that if we would put a bullet in the mayor's head, we wouldn't have these problems right now. And the video showed where I walked around in front of them, and I told them, you are wrong for making a threat like that on the mayor's life. They looked at me, and they proceeded out to leave the building. And as I was walking out, I was telling other residents that what was going on, what I heard, and you know, as I was telling other residents were asking, well, what did he say? And they started asking me questions about it, and I was telling other residents. He turned around, Donald Allen, he turned around and he told me, are you trying to get a assault charge? I laughed at him. And I said, there's no way I can get a assault charge. And he turned around after I told him, I said, I know your mother didn't teach you any manners like that to talk about putting the bullet in the man's head. He asked me again, are you trying to get a assault charge? And he told me, you are a despicable person. And I told him, you are nobody. You are nobody to me. And as I was proceeding out, the police chief grabbed me. He made a big scene. I was not getting out of my way with anyone. He grabbed me, he pushed me in the corner. He was so worried about the threat getting out that the banker and the ex-mayor were talking about, that he pushed me in the corner and kept telling me, you know, don't say that. Don't let this get out. Don't let this get out. And talking about we're friends and things like that. But all at the same time, he was trying to set me up to try to make it look like that I was being out of place, that I would try to strike a riot or something like that, and I was not. And they had a tape recording of the conversation. But that conversation was showing that the police chief was being being real aggressive towards me, and the banker being aggressive towards me. But I found myself charged with simple battery charges, with outrageous fines and all. And after that, two days later, I found myself arrested by a civilian. Wayne Smith, he arrested me. He was a civilian, and the police chief.
Wait a minute. Now, what do you mean he was a civilian? What are you saying?
He was false impersonation of a peace officer, because the mayor closed down the he took the budget away from the police department, and by him taking the budget away, go ahead. Yes, and by him taking the budget away from the police department, they were no longer able to work in the capacity of a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
Upon budgetary cuts or else an officer being fired, they're no longer able to work in the capacity of an officer. And I found myself incarcerated for about 30 minutes. Within that 30 minutes, a sheriff deputy grabs me, curses me out, pushes my head into a wall three times, assaulting me, and I had a smile on my face the whole time, wondering what's going on, because I'm a young man and I have studied law. I was a police officer. I was going to school to be a juvenile officer to be able to help some of the young men to get out of bondage that they were that the system is setting up for them, and I found myself on the other end of the stick, and there was people that were deputies that was in there that knew me personally, told this man that don't do this. This is a good man. He's a family man. Every time you see him, you see his family. He did not care about that. He tried to assault me some more, but the guy, the other deputy, was able to pull him away from me, and I made this complaint to the sheriff. The sheriff said he was going to do something about it. There was nothing ever done about it.
Mm-hmm.
So you had a police chief getting away with a crime, and you have a sheriff deputy that's getting away with a crime, and then you have Sheriff Andy Brown that's trying to hide the crime. Even when I went to court, the judge, I think he's blinder than some of the blind people that's running around here, because out of all the different testimonies that come forth up against me, as they had me hitting him on his left shoulder, right shoulder, whispering something sweet in his ear, brushing up behind him. It was a disaster, and the judge was on, instead of the district attorney trying to do his job to prove something, he sit back and drinking coffee while the judge was trying his best to get everybody to say the same thing on their behalf, but they did not, because the video showed that they were not in the place that they said they were at, but the judge still found guilty of simple battery. And and the people that he fingerprinted that supposed to that was testifying on my behalf was supposed to have perjured themselves, and they did not, because he pointed out the wrong people. He pointed out the wrong people. That's where he made his judgment at. And even the assistant district attorney that was walking out with me at the time, he even made a statement that this didn't happen. And we wanted to subpoena him to court. My attorney, Lewis Scott, was going to subpoena him to court, but the judge said no. That would make the banker look bad and everyone else that's going to testify up against me look bad. So they didn't want the assistant district attorney to testify on my behalf. This is a one-sided law here in Jackson Parish, you know, under the direction of Judge Jimmy T. And even the sheriff, even what the police chief, Wesley Horton, even done by allowing a citizen to work in the capacity of a police officer. There was no auxiliary, but that's false impersonation of a peace officer. And we can't have those type of things going on here in the Jackson Parish area. But after after the judge found me guilty, I don't see how, but after he found me guilty, he's trying to make me serve 30 days in jail. He's giving me 1 year probation and a lot of fines. And this man did not get hurt. I did not touch this man. Just because I heard a threat on Jonesboro Mayor's life, they're trying to hurt me, to silence me. And the whole time the police chief had me falsely restrained, he was just talking about, you don't need to say that. You don't need to say this about DJ. You know, you don't need to say this. And this is the banker of Jonesboro State, the senior vice president over Jonesboro State Bank.
So let's go back. Let me recap a little bit before you go further. I want you to give me the list of names and their positions that were involved in your case from the beginning to the end. What are the names of the people, and tell me what are their positions and how are they connected to your case?
Okay. Donald Esmeyer, he's the ex-mayor who lost to Mayor Thompson. We made history. DJ Allen is the senior vice president over Jonesboro State Bank here in Jonesboro. And Judge Jimmy T is the judge that has a big problem with the mayor, and anyone that's associated with the mayor, he has a problem with him. Even
what's
his wife
name?
Has... Ma'am?
What's his name again?
Judge Jimmy T. Yes,
Jimmy
ma'am.
Jimmy T?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And then you have Police Chief Wesley Horton, the one who really was the one to cook all this up.
Okay.
And then you have Jonathan Stewart, who let this lie go on and put an outrageous bond on me also.
Okay. Now, who's Jonathan Stewart? What's his position?
Jonathan Stewart is the assistant. He is the district attorney.
Okay.
And Doug Stokes is the assistant district attorney. He's right next to him.
Okay.
And he is the town's attorney also.
Okay, district attorney and also the what? I mean, I'm sorry.
The town's attorney. Yes, ma'am.
And then the town's attorney too?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Go ahead.
And then you have the Sheriff Andy Brown, who failed to do his job as an elected official.
Now let the people know who Andy Brown is. Sheriff Andy Brown also is involved in the Jason Smith case. And you guys understand we've had Mr. Bruce Smith on our show, and we've talked his story, and he's told you what happened. This is the same sheriff that's involved in that case, too, that there was a major cover-up with the drowning of a 14-year-old. Go ahead.
Well, Ms. Shalita, that, you know, that wasn't what you call a drowning. That was a covered-up murder. And Jackson Parish Sheriff's officers, I mean, deputies and the sheriff, they are real good about covering up the truth. And there's one here in the Jackson Parish area. And I mean, I have to call it the way it is, you know. And I'm truly disturbed at the judge, at the district attorney, and at the sheriff, and at Western Hart, the chief of police. These are people that does not need to be in the position that they are in. These are people that the people need to step up and say enough is enough, and we need to reelect someone that's worthy to be in these positions. We don't need a drunk judge. We don't need a biased chair. We don't need a coward for a district attorney that just because the people want him to do something, he's trying to find things to hurt the mayor. We helped this man get in the position that he's in. We didn't care for him to say that we have this alderman like Renee Stringer. She is one of the white aldermen that keeps up a lot of confusion within the community, within City Hall. But you can't beat her running women, you know. And that is a problem because she said she loves the Lord, and he hear her cry, but you can't run women and do some of the things that you're doing and be biased and trying to hurt people in the community, and wear this shield and say I am for peace, I am for the community. Renee Stringer is not for the community. She is not even for herself. What spirit that she is a part of? I think she's bypassed the devil.
Yes, ma'am. Now, what's her position? Who is she?
She's an alderman. She's one of the aldermen. This is the lady that when the mayor shook her hand, he got assault charges because he shook her hand.
Oh, and okay.
Yes. This is the same lady that said that that the mayor pushed her and he did not push her. See, we're dealing with a one-sided law. If you want to hurt somebody or you want murder charges to come up against you, you have to have, first of all, the right color skin, and they will take care of the rest. That's just like in the Iris where the young man ended up murdered. He didn't drown. He was murdered. And there's a cover-up because he knew the people that done it, they know someone that knows someone, especially within the sheriff's office, and then to hire to other places and all. And it's going to be a couple. Because if you're not a part of the good old boy system, you're not a part of the system at all. And the only thing that they have changed here in Jackson Parish is not hanging people from crosses. They hang them from the judge's seat. They hang them from the sheriff's office. They hang them from the police department. They hang them from the DA's office. And the way they're going right now, they're trying to railroad the mayor on some real, I call it stupid charges. They're trying to find something to try to discredit this man in Jackson Parish.
Now, as you know, a lot of people probably don't know, tomorrow we'll be having a rally at the park, right? If I'm not mistaken, Perry Park.
Yes, ma'am. We will be having a rally tomorrow. It'll start at 4 o'clock tomorrow. Park in Jonesville. And we're going to be educating the community about some of the awarenesses and some of the things that's going on, even within the school systems here. We have a lot of covered up racism that's going on here in the Jackson Parish School, even by a lot of the even with my kids even having problems with racial slurs, even from teachers here at Quitman High School. And when I bring it forth, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, your wife was telling me when we came to the meeting there, she was telling me about Quitman, and just so happened, Mr. Bruce, which is Jason's father, was telling me the same thing about the incidents that his kids went through while they were at Quitman. So
yes, ma'am.
This is in the system. This is in the education system.
Yes, ma'am. This is teachers and principals that is bullying the kids. I mean, and we have proof that even from Steve Chauvin's office, he is the principal of Quitman High School, even to his teachers and all. And I have had problems with teachers from last year that makes little statements towards my kids because they know that we're working in the community and things like that, but they want to try to provoke us to move our kids or provoke us to do something to stop us from actually coming to the school to participate in things.
Mm-hmm.
They have a way they can fix it up, and they can say, well, hey, Mr. Joseph, every time he comes to the school, he's fussing about something. We need to keep him away from the school. That's one less black face that they would have to see at a pep rally, at a ball game, and because Quitman is predominantly white. And it really does have a lot of racism that's going on there. And the school system know about it because I have even went to the superintendent about some things when a child wrote KKK within my daughter's binder. There was nothing done about it. They launched a campaign out against my daughter to try to hurt her because she stepped up and told us what was going on at the school.
Yeah, and that's what Steve Chauvin, I heard they do that.
Yeah. Steve Chauvin, the principal, he said, you're just trying to make excuse for your daughter's behavior. I say, there's no behavior when you have kids that's doing racist things and then the teachers is picking with them. That's bullying. I don't care how you look at it. That is bullying. And when you stand up and say enough is enough, they start bullying your child. If your child come home and tell you, well, Mama, the teacher has been messing with me, well, they go out and launch a campaign to bully your child, and it's just about nothing that you can do because if they put your child in school suspension, you have to check your child out of school just to speak to your child. And you'll find out that they have been dogging your child while in school. And that's not right. And I have talked to the principal about it. Matter of fact, I think Monday I'm going to have to go in and talk to the principal because one of the teachers the students made a racial slur to my daughter again. She was sitting behind the computer lab there laughing about it. It was so funny to her. And she made the statement to my daughter, well, you can just tell your mama to come on up here and we'll get this straight. And she liked to go home and tell your mama about what goes on in my class.
Hold up. The teacher said this?
Yes, ma'am. That's right.
Okay, so
women
have some racial stuff going on.
Yes, ma'am. And also, we had some of the school kids call my wife and said they witnessed this teacher bullying and picking with my daughter. Now, if she would have got out of place or said something to that effect or try to answer her back, she would have ended up with in-school suspension or some type of referral or something like that. And this is how Quitman High School works.
Okay, so what is the teacher's name?
What is her name? Some Miss Carter. I don't know her name. She's in the computer lab now. And this is the same teacher that pushed my daughter last year, and it was caught on camera by her pushing. And the principal said that the reason why my daughter was pushed because she got out of place with the teacher, and she did not. She asked, I have four kids that's going to Quitman, and all of them have been a victim of racism and a bullying from the teachers and some of the kids. And that's not right. And anytime we bring it to Wayne Offer's desk, the superintendent, you know, it's just a push it up under the rug issue. Steve Chauvin said you're just trying to make trouble because the school is not like that, and I have to call it the way it is. It's a racism. It's racism. There's no other way to look at it.
But I hear you, and I really agree with you simply because this story sounds so similar to what Mr. Smith was going through with his kids at Quitman. I mean, and I actually, not only did I talk to him, I actually talked to the daughter, and I've talked to the uncle. So this is not something you're making up, Mr. Joseph. So you're telling the truth about that school. That Mrs. Carter sounds like the same lady who was dealing with Jason. I'm not for sure if it is, but that name sounds familiar. That name sounds like I've heard it before.
Uh-huh. And there's a coach, matter of fact, he just got the assistant principal at Quitman, and he is another one that has a real race problem also, and he don't care who knows about his race problem.
Now, what's his name?
Ma'am? But he is the new assistant principal, vice principal. He's the new assistant principal at Quitman.
The new assistant principal at Quitman? Okay, we need to find out who that is.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
You definitely need to find out who that is.
Yes, we have been really having a lot of problems with a lot of the teachers at Quitman. A lot of problems.
Now, tell me this. We're at the point where are you getting ready to go back to court with your case, or
yes,
where are we at with that?
On 6, because one of the district attorneys, he is really pushing hard for me to go ahead and do the 30 days and all. And
but if you didn't do anything wrong, why do you have to do the 30 days? That's my question.
The type of system that we're a part of, that you don't have to do anything for you to do anything. Like, you have some DWIs that's going on. Second, third offense DWIs is going on, and they don't get jail time like they're trying to give me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get the fines and probations like I'm getting. If you're not a part of that system, and you affiliated with the mayor in any shape, form, or fashion, you're going to be singled
mm-hmm.
out and going to be done wrong, and this is how the judge is. He is not a
mm-hmm.
fair judge. He's a very biased judge. Judge
mm-hmm.
Jimmy T. I have to call it the way it really is.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you something else. Now, how many other people, is there anybody else that was in the same situation you're in, and I think you were telling us about a witness that they claimed perjured themselves on the witness stand, that they were
trying
to get after that person?
Yes, ma'am. That is Miss Janice Simmons. They were trying to, they done a piece, Channel 8 News did, and they were saying that a fight broke out at the town hall that resulted in two people perjuring themselves. Miss Janice Simmons, she did not perjure herself, and the other guy, he did not perjure himself. They said what they saw, and that's how it was. The judge
mm-hmm.
is trying to find some kind of way to justify him doing me the way he's doing me right now. There is no
mm-hmm.
justice in wrongdoing at
mm-hmm.
all.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't
mm-hmm.
study law to get out here and put my hands on someone. I studied
yeah.
law to make a difference in the community. And see, a banker knows numbers. When I studied law, I studied law. I don't have to
mm-hmm.
put my hands on you to get my point across to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they don't like about me, because I'm up on the law, and they have been misinterpreting the law for a long time. They don't know what's real and what's not. The
mm-hmm.
only thing that they know that is going to be their way, we know how to get you on the highway. Mm-hmm. And they have to stay highway to hell is incarcerating you, trying to get you in a system where they can actually put more charges on you. They wanted to, mm-hmm. When they assaulted me, I guess they were hoping that I tried to fight back. I don't have that kind of strength in me to actually fight back because I stay sick a lot.
Uh-huh.
They, by them doing me the way they done, it was uncalled for. I didn't want them to assault me, call me the ugly names like they did because I'm not
mm-hmm.
like that in the
uh-huh.
yes,
so what did they call you? You can say that on this show. What did they call you? What were the things that they said to you?
They kept calling me a crackhead. Then they called me a crackhead motherfucker. And then the officer just kept calling me motherfucker just repeatedly. And
now,
his name was Pedro. He was a Mexican officer.
Okay.
And he even asked other deputies to come in there, and he wanted to just spray me real bad with the mace and all. He even
mm-hmm.
went to black officers and asked some of the black officers to come in there and spray me. And they told him no because they say they know me. You know, this is a good man right here. And some of the deputies that would come through there, they knew me. Because, you know, me working in law enforcement and then working in the community, these people see me.
Mm-hmm.
And they know I'm not the monster that this man was trying to paint out of me. But he was going around telling people that was in the control room that Wesley Horton, the police chief, called them and told them to assault me.
Man,
to try to shut me up. I guess it was a way to try to put me back in my place. If we
right.
get him
yeah.
in here, we assault this man and beat the hell out of him, but then he's going to be, first of all, if they would have beat me, I probably would have went blind again, lost my eyesight again. I just recently got part of my eyesight back. But if they would have sprayed me and beat me the way this guy was trying to do, I probably wouldn't have been seeing today.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's amazing how much hatred these people have. I don't understand. These are not real people. These are walking demons. That's what I call them, walking demons. Because there's nobody humanistically. If you have a heart pumping in your body, and you go to church on Sunday and you praise the Lord, and then you do things like this, that is not human. That's not human. That is something beyond human. I'm sorry. I believe that's the devil himself. If you have that much hatred, and then you have a generational hatred in your heart for somebody who hasn't even done anything to you, because they speak up and be responsible like they're supposed to and defend people, you're wrong. You're not supposed to do that. That is a demon. That is not nothing real, realistic. We have 318 on the line. 318, do you have anything you want to say? You want to join in the conversation? 318-259, do you have anything you want to say? Hello? I guess they don't. I guess they can't hear. But anyway, yeah, I'm just like amazed at your story, Mr. Joseph. All the stuff that you and the mayor has been going through, and it's like we as Americans, African Americans, you know, we live in our own little tiny worlds, and we go to our own homes, and we go to our jobs every day. We vacation with our families. We, you know, we pretend everything is just fine in our little world. But we don't look at the plight and the stuff that the rest of our people are going through, especially here in the South. And not only just here in Louisiana. You have South Carolina, you have Alabama, you have Georgia. All of these little incidents are happening all over the place. It's time out. It's time out. And if you can be a victim, and I always say this, if you can be a victim, I can be a victim of the same situation.
Right.
So I need to have myself squared away to the point where I can fight my own battles. I can fight everybody else's, but when it comes to me, am I going to be able to withstand the pressure and the trouble and the trials that you're going through, knowing you didn't do anything. You just told somebody something, and you needed to tell somebody, because if something would have happened, you still could have been a witness to it regardless. You overheard it. You did what any citizen was supposed to do. You told somebody that needed to know, this is what I heard. And because you did that, this is where you're at now. And that's sad. In 2013, that's sad. And I just don't understand, why are they so bent on trying to keep us from progress and trying to keep us from not being able to take up for each other and protect each other? What is the deal with that? They protect their own. Why can't we protect ours? What makes us not have the same rights as they do? And it's time out for this. It really, truly is time out for this. I don't know what we can do. We're at a point where we're gathering people up. We're telling people. We're notifying people. We're informing people. We're educating people. You guys, this is not something you see on TV. This is not Mississippi burning. This is literally happening in today's society when it comes to African Americans. And because we come from impoverished, poor neighborhoods, we're the ones who get the brunt of the punishment. And that's exactly what's happening. You can't afford no high-powered lawyer to come in and fight your case. If they're not already taken, when I say taken, somebody paying them to keep from defending you, you know, it's almost like you're almost lost to a certain extent, because everybody's got their pockets open for somebody to do them a favor. And that's sad. So you don't really have too many people you can trust that's going to do what they're supposed to do. And that's to defend you, find you innocent of anything that they claim, quote unquote, that you did. And that's frustrating. And I know you're frustrated, because not only are you a father of four, you have a wife, you have a business, and you're sick on top of that. So I can imagine what you're going through. I can only imagine. I can't feel it, but only can imagine what you're going through in order to get through all of this.
Yes, ma'am.
It's got to be, you can't move, you can't pack up and move every time you go through a situation. And nowadays, it's nowhere you go that it's harmony when it comes to us black folks. Ain't nowhere in the United States where there's harmony when it comes to us. I don't care how many times people pretend they're in the little la-la land and we're skipping down the road, throwing pebbles in the lake. That crap don't work for us. That's not our world. That's on TV. We're struggling just trying to survive. We're struggling just trying to make sure we can get up the next day, to make sure we're not getting into any trouble. We got to make sure we're working right. We got to stand on pins and needles just to survive every day, because you got a whole bunch of ignorant folk with evil in their spirit, in their hearts, trying to come after you for no reason, just because of the color of your skin. That's sad, and it's pathetic. So we're at a point now where you're just waiting now to go back to court. Now, repeat the date that you have to go back to court again.
I have to go September the 6th. I'm going back to court. The judge did not want to grant my attorney, Lewis Scott, time to do a writ. He told us in court that he would give us the after August, but then the district attorney sends a letter saying that it's mandatory that I go ahead and start my sentencing and all. And so the judge went back and saw that he did give us that time. He really didn't want to go back on it, but he told my attorney he's going to give us till September the 6th, and then he's going to see. But what he's trying to do is hold back to see the face of the mayor. If he can find the mayor guilty, well, then he's going to be able to find me guilty also regardless of I'm filing a writ or whatever, and that's how he's going to proceed with it.
Okay. So now, when does the mayor go to court?
The mayor starts his court on Monday. We're going to have a march to the courthouse and into the courtroom. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And that's this Monday, March 26th. What time is his court? What time does he go to court? At 9:30?
Yes, ma'am. 9:30 court starts.
Okay. Now what I would like for you to do, since I hadn't had a chance to talk to the mayor, I would love to get him on the show, but I hadn't had a chance to because I know he's been busy doing a lot of things right now and trying to get prepared for this. Tell us a little bit about his story and why is he going to court? What is his – why is he on his way to what quote-unquote jail?
What they're trying to do right now, they have come up with some charges from – other people that was in the town halls, they had jobs to do, and they didn't do the job. People working inside of the mayor's office that was working on sabotaging the mayor. Even they have said this in front of the legislative auditor that I didn't. Ex-clerk Ms. Vicky. I think Shepherd said that she did not know what her job was. She didn't know how to do the job that she was supposed to be doing. And that's why a lot of the records wasn't reconciled. Now, up under any other mayor, the paperwork and everything has been done. But when the mayor come in there, all of a sudden these people don't know their job. And they have been supposed to be doing this job for so many years, and his staff walked out on him, but some of them stayed back to try to sabotage him and all.
Okay, so how many on his staff walked away when he became? You're saying when he was elected mayor, which was back in when? When was his first election?
I don't have the dates with him, but he's on his second term right now. I think it's in 07. I think it was 2007, and the majority of the whites walked out of the town hall because they said they would not work for a black mayor.
Okay, they said they would not work for a black mayor. That's why they walked away.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Now, so after they walked away, that left him with trying to scramble to get somebody to help him operate his office, right?
Yes, ma'am. But there were some people that was left in his office that said they knew how to do the job, but they did not. And they said it in front of the legislative auditors that they didn't know how to do that job. They were bonded by law to do this job, and they didn't do it. And the mayor could not let those people go because the council, the majority white council would not let them let any of them go because they know that they had someone in there that can tell them what's going on and do what they need to have done with the city hall.
Okay, so in other words, they were purposely left back in order to sabotage what the mayor was trying to get everything straightened out, put everything where it needs to be because he's taken office. He needs to put all his policy and procedures in place, and he was not able to because of the mess that was left from the last mayor.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. You have that, and you have people that was left from the previous mayor. Matter of fact, it was after Don Lesmeyer lost to the mayor, Leslie Thompson. It was some of his people that was in there that was doing the sabotage in City Hall.
Mm-hmm. Now, see, you guys, this is not something he's making up. This has been 20, I think he came in office between 2006 and 2007. So
yes, ma'am.
This is, going on 2014. So that means all this time, this is what this mayor has been going through. I had an opportunity to talk to the mayor, and the mayor said to me, he said, I've been so busy fighting these people that I haven't even been able to act as the mayor. He said, I've been fighting them ever since I got in office.
That is true.
Go ahead.
Just as soon as he stepped in the office for mayor, this same autumn, Ms. Renee Stringer started circulating a petition to have the Secretary of State to do a recall. It was a recall petition that she had started circulating as soon as he got as mayor. So they were not trying to give him any type of leeway. They were not going to see what kind of job he could do. They were, they judged him because of his skin color right off the bat, and they were trying to get him thrown out as mayor. And that did not work. And this is by the same lady.
Go ahead.
This is by the same alderman. When he shook her hands, she said that he assaulted her by just one little handshake.
Tell them that you're not going away, and we're going to do what we got to do to make things happen. happen so we can live comfortably just like you do? We have a right to that. So, Mr. Joseph?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So now we're at the point where the mayor has to start all over from scratch with the people, putting people in place. And tell us about now, I think there was a story also about the fire chief. Can you tell me a little bit about the fire chief?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Matter of fact, Ms. Carla Robinson, the lady who was talking about she hate all you damn niggas, she was one of, the fire chief's wife. And matter of fact, she has been caught with messing around with a black man, but she has a racist problem with him. Her husband caught her messing around with a black.
Wait a minute, hold up, this is not gossip now, is this gossip? No, this is true.
What has been taught, messing around with a black man, but can't stand black.
Okay.
And even when she was saying this, this same police chief, he called her name a total of 3 times, and that's just at normal base. That was nothing like he's trying to really stop her from hurting herself or actually starting a riot. And this same judge was talking about he's gonna do me because he said that I could have struck a riot, but she's hollering out racial slurs in a packed place, and that's not right.
No, that wasn't.
And
to her all
time, but
he said that you was about to start a war.
Yes, yes. And the police chief, the mayor let him go, and he put someone else in place that was more qualified than this man. But this is the same police chief. The same fire chief that testified on my behalf, him and his mother. Ms. Robinson's husband and her mother-in-law worked at the hospital. And her testimony was so much a big lie, and his was too, because they both testified to something totally different. And the video shows that they were not in the place that they swear they were in. But the judge still... Go ahead.
So you're saying they didn't testify on your behalf, they testified against you.
Yes, ma'am, they testified against me. And the other thing is I pushed him on his right shoulder. The son said I pushed him on his left shoulder. And one of the other ones, ma'am. No, they were not. No, they were already out of the building, leaving out when I was talking to the banker.
Oh.
So they ma'am.
They weren't even in the building.
No, they were proceeding outside the building when this supposed to this allegedly attack happened.
They were not. So you're saying that was the police chief and his son and his mother?
No, there was the fire chief, him and his mother.
Okay.
And so they were, ma'am.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I keep interrupting you. And
you know, the video shows that they were not at the place they say they were at. But not one time you hear the judge saying that any of the ones that was lying on the witness stand that was testifying up against me perjured themselves.
Mm-hmm. So did you guys subpoena the video, or were you able to show that in court?
My attorney was shown in court, and they took the video and tried to turn the video around on us and tried to say the judge
the judge said that the way he made his judgment, because he said that I had two that cursed themselves. And when they took that information to Channel 8 News, the people that they pointed out were the wrong people. They pointed out someone else that did not testify. They pointed out an ex-police officer from the Winfield area and Ms. Simmons. Yes, ma'am. The video was shown in court. They still took that video and even the tape recording and tried to turn it around. And you can look, you can listen at the tape recorder and you can see where I was not being hostile. It'll show that the police chief was being hostile towards me and DJ Allen of Jonesboro State Bank was being hostile towards me. They were being the aggressor in this matter. Yes, ma'am. We do have a copy. My attorney has a copy of it.
Okay. So you have a videotape and the audio tape?
Yes, ma'am. A video, and we have an audio where the police got on the witness and said to the judge that I was being out of place. I was being hostile, making the environment hostile, and I was not. The video. I mean, the tape recording, you can hear me talking, but you won't hear me just right out talking loud like they were talking. They were being very aggressive towards me. Now, they were the aggressor towards me. They was being aggressive. Ma'am?
Now, is it possible that...
Can you repeat that?
Town hall meeting? I mean, when y'all were at a
yes.
town hall meeting?
Yes, ma'am. We were at a town hall meeting.
Okay. Now, is it possible that you can get, if somebody wanted a recording, I mean, have a copy of that, can they get that?
Yes, ma'am. You ought to be able to get a copy of it.
Okay. Now, what date was that on?
It was August the 14th. Approximately around 7:30.
August 14th, what, 2000 and what?
2012.
Okay. And that's the town hall meeting. That's actually your city council meeting, right?
Yes, ma'am. He's gonna try to carry on with the sentence, or he's going to let my attorney present the writ that he repaired to go to the Second Circuit Court of Appeal.
Okay. So they're waiting, and you said something earlier. They're trying to see what they're going to do with the mayor before they deal with you. Is basically
yes,
at
ma'am.
The point, right?
What they're trying to say, they're trying to keep all of this hid as much as possible. Even I've done an interview with the state police the detectives come in and they took my statements, and I let them know I would be more than happy to submit to a lie detector test. That's to let you know that I'm not playing when I heard what I heard, and I know what I heard, and I would push forward with that. And they say, well, you about the first one that would submit to that. But right now, the complaint is in Baton Rouge, and it has been in Baton Rouge for 5 months now. And the state police have not done their job as of now. And I was even contacted by the FBI to tell me not only my civil rights was violated, that there's a lot of violations that's going on here in the Jackson Parish area with this detention center and all. And I even contacted LaSalle Management Group, and they are aware of a lot of corruption that's been going on in their facility. And they they don't care. As long as they get the money from the state, they don't care what goes on there.
Okay, so who is LaSalle?
LaSalle Management Group, they're out of Gina. That's who owns the detention center that's here.
Okay, so it's a privately owned detention center is what you're saying.
Yes, ma'am, and the sheriff has a interest in it also.
That's understandable. I'm surprised that the FBI didn't do that. And I have been working with Mr. Bruce Smith on the Jason Smith story, and I had a private investigator that was told to stay away from the case after he talked to a couple of FBI agents. One of the people that was involved in this case has a relative. It's amazing how deep it goes. And I'm not saying we don't have a way out of this. I truly believe we do. I think we just can't sit back and let this happen. We can't sit back and say, you know what, I'm just going to do what I got to do, and I'm going to be quiet about it. I'm not going to say nothing. You need to quit. You know, we've been called, labeled troublemakers because we experience a lot of going on. Call me whatever you want to. It doesn't matter to me. I've been called worse. I was in the military, so I've been called worse. My thing is wrong is wrong, it's wrong. And it's nothing wrong with exposing wrong. We are never going to get beyond where we're at until we do. We're not going to get any further than where we're at now until we continue. That if it has to be our own people that we expose.
Hello, Shalita.
Hey, how are you, sir?
How you doing? Good, good.
Okay.
Having a bad connection.
Huh?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, I'm just calling in to just say thank you for all what you're doing for the town of Jonesboro, Willie Joseph, and on behalf of the Mayor Thompson.
Okay.
for spreading the word. Okay. Tomorrow at 5 o'clock, we'll be having a prayer rally in Jonesboro at the Perry Park on Congo Street. It starts at 5 o'clock. We need all the support we can in Jonesboro and financial contributions to help Mayor Thompson and Brother Willie Joseph fight these legal battles as well. Then Monday morning, we'll be having a prayer rally from 8 to 9. Then we will march from City Hall courthouse and then go straight into the courtroom for Mayor Thompson's trial. And we call in all that are listening to please come and support, pray, join in the fight, because it's not about us. It's about every black official in Louisiana.
So they all been paid off. This will be the actual trial. They will be starting the motions at 9:30, start the motions and all that what the lawyers do. Then at 1:30, they're supposed to be start picking the jury, supposed to be, but the jury could be start selection could be Tuesday. We just pray that everything, all the motions get heard, and it could be, the trial could be refixed, or the trial could be, have a venue change, you know, so we're in the preliminary stages, but our prayer is that the venue becomes changed, because I know that the jury will be tainted here in Jonesboro, because Ann Walsworth is the mother-in-law of the sheriff. That's the clerk of court. That's the sheriff's mother-in-law.
Wait a minute.
Hello?
Repeat that.
The clerk of court of Jackson Parish is the sheriff's mother-in-law, Andy Brown.
Oh my God!
So that's why I said the jury will be. She, matter of fact, I have a copy of the jury list with her name on it. She certified it. So I know the jury will be is handpicked just about. But they have a few of us on there just, you know, make it look good.
Okay, so y'all can't, so is the mayor pushing for a change of venue?
Yes, and Lewis Scott and Carol Powell are asking for a change of venue. That's one of the motions that's on that's on deck.
Okay, that's good. Because there is no way. All this interconnected. Oh my, that is crazy.
That's where the system here in Jackson Ferry is family oriented, connected. It's all about who you know. This is just a plot to take the mayor out because he didn't do what they said what the white man said do. So they, because they want another black man in there that acts like them. So they know that a white man can never hold the seat of a mayor no more in Jonesboro. That's already been eliminated. It's just a plot. It's a tech because when we first come in, the same thing. They told us to you do what we tell you to do, and y'all will be all right. And I told them, no, thank you. I don't take bribes. And I've been standing since day one. I haven't swayed left or right. I still won't sway. I will stand with Mayor Thompson until the trial is over and we walk out there in victory. I'm still standing with him. They can do what it is. I don't look at my city council job as a career. I look at it as a servant to people. It's not about the money. I didn't get in for the money. I get into just to help my people. Yeah, but I've been criticized. But why you do that? Why you do it? Mayor Thompson's going to take you to jail. I had some Uncle Tom's come tell me, some of my own cousins, the one that the white man wants in office. But I choose to stand on. Yes. I choose to stand on my own 2 feet. I read, I study, and I know what's going on. This is just a plot to keep us they still want to keep doing that stealing, but they got to find somebody to help keep funneling that money through the government out of the city hall back into the white community. It's all a scam. It's all a plot.
Everything basically is what happened.
Yeah, that's what he did. He interrupted their plan. But that's all right. But God has a way of interrupting everything. And he needed to expose it because I don't know if Willie told you about a graveyard issue. We had a graveyard. Been here ever since I've been a child. It's a town graveyard, but you can't bury blacks there. But our black parents and constituents pay for a graveyard. Taxpayers.
What?
Yes, ma'am. So that's why they mad, because we're uncovering a lot of their dirt. Like Willie said about the clerk, she didn't know how to do a job, but she knew how to steal money because she was writing, she was taking money out of her checking account to catch NSF fees on town checks that she had wrote.
And where's she at?
Huh. They got her all tied up in an investigation. It's called continuing just running wild. Because when they raided the mayor's office, they put her in the mix so they could shield her because her husband is a business owner in Jonesboro.
Oh, okay.
So it's real deep here.
So, okay, cause I know, I think it was maybe a couple of years ago, the city of Baltimore had a lot of people out in Ball, and I think Winfield was the other city where the mayor's
yes.
Why is Jonesboro not on that list?
I guess people who they know, you know.
So, okay, so have you guys, and I'm talking to you too, Mr. Joseph, have you guys got in contact with the have they had anything to say about this?
Call who? I can't hear your phone breaking up.
Department of Justice.
Oh yes, they've been contacted. They've been contacting them. The mayor wrote letters to him. He's been over to Shreveport, talked to the Civil Rights Division, talked to the Department of Justice. He matter of fact, he's talked to the it's another guy down in Baton Rouge. He's gonna talk to just about everybody that we know to go to. He sent letters to Washington D.C.
And there's nothing being done.
Yeah.
I have four kids that go to Quitman High.
Okay. Mr. Devin, you have four kids that go to Quitman High too?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, my child is grown. He's 24 years old. He's grown. I don't have any children in the school system here.
Okay, so do you know about the situation Mr. Joseph was saying about Quitman High?
But then, Willie, I've been knowing it all my life. Quitman has been racist. They have the best textbook. They have the best of everything. Jonesboro Hard School gets a little piece of chain, and they just whatever they have to scramble with. The black kids, they scramble with anything, leftovers, the crumbs, I call it.
Okay, so you're saying that the education system in our wonderful state of Louisiana, in our lovely little parish, Jackson, in the
oh, yeah.
little. You actually have schools that are 50 and 60 years behind the regular kids?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That's why my dropout rate is so bad. The school system, we don't even have enough certified teachers because they're not willing to pay and all kinds of stuff. The school system is just not right here because for a superintendent, you have an ex-basketball coach. He couldn't teach then. How can he be a superintendent?
And you're very right about that.
So the superintendent is a basketball coach?
Yeah, a former basketball coach. Can't do that. Nothing. It's all about who you know.
And how much money he can save
right.
for his bonus.
Yeah.
Because go ahead.
And he's probably working for somebody. You see, it's a setup system. And like I say, it's all who you know. So they probably said, well, we'll put him in there. So he's a good friend of such and such, such and such. And he can still funnel that money through contractors. See, that's the way they do it here. Do it through contractors. And they do it all over the world, but they do it big here. So when black contractors go up there try to get contract job, they can't get it because it's a circle. It's a circle. So if I have a business, I get the bid, I can tell my counterpartner, hey man, you come on and work with me and we'll split it a little bit, you know, we're gonna have a project, I work with other projects, but we all up on the same umbrella, so when the next cycle go around, it's your turn to get it and you just bring me on. That's the way they do it here.
Yep, that's what they do here. Alexander does the same thing. They,
yeah.
It's just
a monopoly, keep the money and the blacks don't get nothing.
That's
they can't
right.
even work
that's
on if they do work on something, guess what? It's only about $300 or $400 job that they don't want.
It's not no big money.
No, it's not no big money. It's just something to say, okay, we gave you a little contract, $250 to post some cement, just build a walkway, a little old small walkway. That's all they're going to get. They're not going to get the major reconstruction, bathrooms and addition of classrooms. No, that's too much money to give us. So it's sad. It's just sad. It's just sad. I've been dealing with this for years.
Okay, so have you, since you said you've been dealing with it for years, have you spoke out prior to you being working with the mayor?
Oh, I speak out every day. I'm not afraid to say what I got to say.
Okay.
But see, because it goes back to high school. I was called a nigga in school by a young white lady, and, you know, at that time, didn't know nobody. I slapped the world out of her. And ever since then, I've been on a warpath.
So you've done that too, huh?
Yes. I mean, right is right. My name is Devin. My name is not a nigga.
Yeah. Yeah, I when I moved down here, it was a culture shock for me. Living in New York and in Michigan and moving down here, it was a culture shock for my whole, all the girls in family, because it's five girls. We were not used to all this words, and we weren't used to that because we didn't do that up north. And when I heard it, I did the same thing you did. They had to pull me off the girl when I heard. Let me tell you what the principal said to me. You Yankees come down here thinking y'all gonna run some stuff, because I whooped her tail for using that word in front of me. Or she was talking about my sister, actually. But we didn't play that. You don't talk about sister. We kick your tail. Luckily, all my other sisters wasn't there, because we all would have got her. And in the end, I got suspended, and I told my mom what he said, and Mayetta didn't like that. And so Mayetta went up to the school, and they had to call the police on Mayetta, because she said, you're not going to talk that way to my daughter. And he had to apologize, and I regret going to that school, but I saw racism at its best.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just like knocked me in my face. You Yankees, what the hell? That was just a way of saying you think you better than us coming from up north.
Right.
He wanted to use the other word, but he said you Yankees. That's fine. But he had to apologize in the end, so it didn't matter. But it's this idea of what you're going through. I mean, looking at blatant racism in your face, it's easy for us to talk about it and hear it from afar. But to actually deal with it, it's a whole different ballgame. It gives you a whole nother feeling, and it really opens up your eyes to what really is going on. And
it's not that
we hate people. It's just that we realize that these people are not for us. And I'll say it again.
No.
When you go to the extent that they've gone through to do what they've done to Willie, to do what they've done to the mayor, that's easy.
Yeah.
That's nothing. There's no way those same people get up every Sunday and take their behinds to church and sit in them pulpits and holler they believe in God. There's no way.
And the majority of a lot of those devils are society right at foot first.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe 100% believe you. 100% I believe you. A lot of them sitting, some of them are in the pulpit.
You even have the pastor preaching up against the mayor. Now, that's wrong. That is wrong. The pastor of First Baptist is even one that's preaching up against the mayor also, to his flock. And his flock is some of the what you call so-called elite, you know, part of the judge, the sheriff, and people like that, you know.
And where the sheriff, clerk of court go, so it's just a coffee drink church, because they only be there 5 minutes, because when you look around, they be at the chicken place before we do. And, you know, black folks don't get out of church about 1:30. They out at 10:30, 11 o'clock, because they ain't heard nothing. They ain't trying to hear nothing. All they doing is trying to see what black men, they can put on the chopping black neck on the block necks.
But you know, the preachers were involved back then, too.
Yeah.
So it has to change now. The preachers would have some of their secret meetings at the churches.
Oh yeah,
that's where they would have their secret meetings, in the sheriff's office, in the churches, in the DA's office. Those are the places where they had their secret meetings.
Oh yeah,
in the coffee shops where you couldn't sit in, you had to go through the back door. So I mean, this is nothing new. It hasn't changed. Now they don't want nobody coming in there trying to tell them how to change how things need to be. Y'all Negroes need to stay in your place. Why do y'all even want to be in a position of knowing that you got to deal with us? They want us to continue to be scared of them, because they got a lot of us still scared. They got a lot of us thinking that we're inclusive. You know, my daughter plays with such and such, and, you know, you keep that up because their faces don't change. I don't care how much they say I have black friends. Please be weary of someone who says that.
Oh, yeah. I don't pay no attention. I know they're lying.
Because you can have all the black friends. It does not state. It does not mean that you don't like black folks because you got black friends. Please. That don't mean nothing. We have to associate with them every day. Don't mean I like them. So, I mean, my thing is, we got to wake up. We as a people have got to wake up. Because you guys' story is enough. I mean, it's so many other stories just like you guys are going through. You know, look at our people who are being incarcerated wrongfully. You know, you got to look at the whole picture. You got people that are dead. You know, you think about the boy who was in the back seat of the police car with his handcuffs behind him and he shot himself. Come on, you guys.
No,
that's totally impossible.
Impossible.
You know. When is it going to stop?
This is the way that they can do something to you, and they call this justified. There is no justification of a person handcuffed in the back of a police car and putting a bullet in their head. There is no way. But the system is designed. You're gonna do what we need you to do, and that's going to be it.
Yeah,
and I'm the type of person that's going to stand up for injustice, wherever it may be. I'm going to stand up and say enough, enough.
Mm-hmm. And we have to do that. We have to.
Yes, and I'm just standing up just for my four kids. I'm standing up for other kids that you know, our future. That's what I'm all about.
Mm-hmm. And you know what, too? We have to look at what we call leadership, too. We have to look at that because sometimes our leadership is not. Yeah, we got a lot of sellout leaders that's faking the funk, what we used to call faking the funk.
Bowed out.
And bowed out before
they even swear in.
Yes, right. They already know. They already know what they got to do, man. Okay, you keep them. You keep your buddies over there quiet. You know, we won't bother them. You tell them, you know. They got to do what they got to do. Don't, you know, you got those. Yeah, man, I got you. You're going to keep my brother out of trouble, right? You're going to keep him out of trouble. You know, those, I'm just thinking in my head, you know, those are the things that we do. You know, I mean, that's how we done sold out. I'm talking about from our senators, our congressmen, some of our mayors. I mean, I'm district attorneys, whoever. We've got to understand that's got to stop. You know, because in the long run, we are getting hurt. Our people are being unfairly treated because of a lot of these deals that's being done under the table and in the back doors. We need
to
stop it.
That's right.
And you know, your conscience might not be the same as my conscience. And my thing is, if you have no conscience, because that's what it sounds like to me, you're not thinking about nobody but yourself because we've become a very selfish society. We don't care about each other. We only care about who's in our little circles. And that's not fair, you know. And I keep going back to the same thing. If you say you're Christ-like, you sure is a funny version of what Christ is like. Because he's not like how a lot of us claim or proclaim that we are. He's nothing like that. So we need to quit that Christ-like stuff because it's not working. I mean, we're not. We're nothing like Jesus, because Jesus wouldn't even tolerate half of this stuff that's going on now. You know, there's no way he would have tolerated all this crap that's going on with the unfair treatment of people.
That's right.
You know.
That's right.
So we've got to come to a point where we've got to stop this. Anybody have any last words before we go? I really enjoyed this. I can't wait to see the results of everything that's happening. I thank you guys for even contacting us and letting us know what's going on. I keep thinking about the seven slaughtered. I talked to Mr. Gaines. His story is dynamic. He has another friend who's going through some stuff. You guys going through some stuff. We dealing with the Jason Smith case. So, I mean, you guys, it's so much going on. You know, you almost want to say, you know, okay, can somebody stop this? Is there any way a power can happen where all of this can stop? And we can be, you know, quiet and comforted that we can't, we don't have to go through all of this. We don't
That's
deserve
right.
it. And I will say it. Nobody deserves this.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So would you guys want to give your last words before we go?
I'm good. Just thank everybody for listening. And please come down and support us if you can.
And Mr. Jones?
Yes, ma'am. We need all the help we can get. Jackson Parish is in trouble. You know, we're, you know, the citizens are going through something. And my question is, where is our help? Where is the FBI? Where is the Department of Justice? Where is justice when we need justice? Where are you? And that's all I have.
Well, you guys, I want to thank you guys for, Mr. Joseph, first of all, thank you for being a guest on my show on Say Your Peace Radio Network. You guys can always go back and listen to this show. It's going to be online once we get off. It records itself. So you can always go back to blogtalkradio.com/Say Your Peace Radio Network, and you can listen to this again. I want to thank you guys so much for coming out, talking, letting us know what's going on. You guys very much so are going to come back on the show without a doubt. You've got
to
come back.
Thank you so much.
Thank you again, and you guys have a safe night. Be safe. Keep your heads up and not down. There is going to be answers at the end of this big nightmare, and they're going to be positive answers, so we just got to be prepared for that. But in the meantime, stay on the alert, stay on your guard, and do not shut up. And keep talking and exposing what's going on. Thank you guys again. And I want to say goodnight to my listening audience. Stay tuned for more good information that we need. You guys need to hear. Again, thank you and good night.
Good night. Good night.